how you should build and run your own internet access provider, or at least try. It was the first title I came up with. It's quite long, so too long didn't read why you know ISP. It was the second title I had in mind. And then I received some emails following the announcement of the schedule of people saying me, actually we are ISP, we are doing this, so we are, this is the answer of your question. So I was like, okay, but I don't know you. And then I will elaborate on that during the talk. First, a bit of a disclaimer. We are not going to talk about access. We are going to talk about access, but we are not going to talk about hosting in transit. Those are interesting issues, very important issues. Freedom box and so on, it's related to that, about self-hosting, about running its own services at home. But that's a separate issue, and that's not the scope of the talk today. I'm going to focus about access and how to provide a neutral internet access. And that's good. So I want to start by giving you a quick overview of the network in France, the public network, public ISPs. There are a lot of dark zones. Where you have no or little bandwidth, no broadband, very isolated, it's quite complicated to... Okay, closer. Sorry. Network neutrality is under heavy attack from different perspectives, from the legislative point of view, from commercial ISPs themselves, from all sorts of bad people. And good also, but they don't know what they are doing. And there are especially stupid laws like ADOP, the three strikes law we had in France, and ACTA, and so on. I can continue later on, during a long time with these bad laws. There is no diversity. There are very few commercial ISPs, three or four, something like that. So there is kind of a monopoly there. The network is very centralized. Almost everything goes through Paris. When one person in the southwest of France want to exchange packets through the network with someone in the southeast, the packets go to Paris and then goes back to the south of France. It's completely stupid, and that's not how the internet should work. So there is something to do on this, on the centralization of the network. And of course, as there are big commercial ISPs, we are just numbers in the database. When we call the hotline, we are asked to wait for a long time to have a city answer. That's not very cool. And there are a lot of other issues about the network in France. Not important. So there are several issues to address. First, help people understand the status. What is the internet? How does it work? It's not a box that you buy in the supermarket, but many people think that that's the way it is. Make people understand that freedom of expression is at stake when it comes to port restriction and things like that on their internet access. Another issue to address is how to provide public IPs for making people capable of hosting their own services at home, V4, V6, and so on, have a neutral access. That's quite easy, actually, to provide a neutral access, but the big telcos continue to tell us that the bandwidth is so big, the pipes are full, the network are saturated, it, blah, blah, shit. And there are, of course, a big issue, which is the rural areas and how to build rural networks there to provide good access to the internet and to put an end to this divide, this digital divide about the access to the internet.
So how do we engage these fights? In France, we come up with a solution that I will present you. I've identified two key points for me, but maybe there are others. First, federating energies. We are doing things, but how do we build on top of this? How do we share the knowledge that we use to build our networks? And how do we how can we avoid to reinvent the wheel and to ask again the same question each in our little corners? So at first, in France, there was an example to follow, FDN. It's French Data Network. It exists in 1992. Since then, almost nothing has changed in the structure of this organization. It's a non-profit organization. At first, it was plain old telephonic system, and then ADSL came in 2005. And well, POTS has been proven useful lately in Egypt and Syria. FDN provided international landlines for call numbers to give back the access to the internet to people there and all around the world. And FDN also provide VPN, which is really cool. And they provide VPN for Reporter Without Borders, which is even more cooler. So have you ever seen your ISP's routers? Because these are mines. Those are the routers that are seeing my traffic when I'm connecting to the internet. So FDN is kind of choose your own adventure book. No, not book, ISP. It's like you're the hero of the very service that you use every day. You have your say on how it works, on everything, on how much does it cost, and so on. In 2010, FDN was growing and growing. And the human scale that was very important was starting to vanish. And then it was time to spread the word. It was time to fork and to build other ISPs and copy the very same structure and the very same concepts, which were the basis of FDN. So here came the FFDN, the Federation FDN, called in tribute of this old organization. And in 2011, there were seven non-profit ISPs funding this federation, counting something like 400 members. And now we are 23 non-profit ISPs all over France, counting something like 1,600 members. And spoiler, we are soon crossing the borders because there are plans for building a non-profit ISP that will integrate our federation in Belgium. So if you're... You're right, they are amazing, you should support them. If you are Belgian, we can discuss and I can introduce you to these people. They are here today. So here's a map of this organization. So we build copies of FDN locally to maintain a human scale. That's very important if you want to do things with people, that you can meet them actually on a weekly, daily, not daily, but weekly or monthly basis. Because what we are doing requires a human link, much more than bandwidth and technical stuff. So how do we connect subscribers? There are many solutions actually to provide access to the internet. In France, we have the opportunity to have ADSL backhaul contracts. It's not possible everywhere. You can use 5 GHz Wi-Fi bridges to extend the ADSL lines and so on to reach the dark zones I told you about. And soon we are going to provide fiber to the home next to Paris in a small city, which is quite exciting. And no, the RFC 1149 doesn't work. Don't try it. I've heard there is a new one, the 2549, but yeah, we won't try it. So some examples. There is Rhizome. It's a student ISP. They provide temporary wireless access. It's cheap, easy to set up. It's really the good example of how we provide, how we do things on a case-by-case basis. The commercial ISPs don't offer, how to say this, a cheap, easy to set up internet access. And in this city where this ISP is located, actually there are a lot of students, and they are not in they are not in the same place. They are all over the town, and it's quite complicated to give access to a building because they are not all in the in two or three buildings. They are across the city. So the students there came up with the idea of providing small antennas at the beginning of the university year. And so people come to the student bureau and they come back home with this kind of antenna, and then they put they are either relays or endpoints of this network all across the city. The funny thing is they also do rebound on buildings, which is quite, well, at first it's scary. It's weird. And this is an example I love. This is tetaneutral.net. They are based in Toulouse. They are located close to the hackerspace of Toulouse, which is called the Teta Lab, and they have something great. They have a fiber to the data center, which is 200 meters away from the squat where is the hackerspace. And so they provide wireless, VPN, virtual machine hosting, IPv4, V6, they have their own autonomous system. They are pretty much amazing. And they provide access in both dense zone in the city and dark zones. They rented a fiber to provide access through wireless in the south of Toulouse, in the middle of nowhere. And also provide access to squats, which is really cool. And they have 400 members. They exist since 3 years, and there are already 400 members. It's quite amazing how fast they grow. There are approximately half of these people who are actually connected through the internet. It's difficult to know the number of people using the access because they provide access to squads, so we don't ask people to check in or something to, of course. And they provide wireless on top of fibers, as I said. And that's a photo I like, so I share it with you. We are doing this because we gain more control on the infrastructure of the internet. Not all the internet, but we had something. We had our own little network to the internet, and we know that we have, to some extent, a control on this part. One important thing is that we build something local, friendly, human. This gives, obviously, a better service. Not obviously, because some people ask me, well, you are all volunteer-based, you're all volunteers. If the network goes down, what happens? Who do you call? And actually, you call your friends, because they are your friends. And so you say, hey, I have no network, do you have an idea? Oh yeah, I rebooted this and this, and I'm working. Oh God, no, stop this. No, it's not like that, almost. And one important thing is that we spread knowledge. We try to document everything that we are doing, but we are quite bad at it, as we do it in French. So for now, but I'm trying to advocate for going outside of France, as you can see. And we try to have some political influence. The Federation is quite small. It's just 1,000 members. But we are listened by politicians, by institutions. Lately, we have been heard by the National Frequency Authority about how to reuse the old television analog Hertzian frequencies. And basically, the question is, what are we going to do with these frequencies? Are we going to to stay with the license and fees to use them, or are we going to open this and have a good policy for networks like ours? So that's interesting, because putting an umbrella on top of all these local initiatives gave us the opportunity to have some voice. And it's fun, seriously, we have very good fun. That's some people build the router modem inside his toaster, right? Yeah, that's fun. So we decide the services we provide, we decide the prices. When I say we don't have customers. We have only people doing things together. So when you subscribe to one of these ISPs, you become a member of it. And so you have your say on it. You can say, oh, the price is quite, it's too much for me. How can we, I have no job. How can we do this? And at a group, you can decide that for people with no jobs, for students, you can fix a low price and something that will be financed by the others. That's something that you cannot do with a commercial ISP, like say, oh, please, doesn't work. And of course, we decide what technology we use, and that's important. I won't learn you anything like that with this. And we share. You use Wiki, mailing list, IRC. Transparency is at the core of what we are doing. We have meet space meetings, because that's very important to meet people you are interacting with and you are with whom you are doing building things. And we advocate to journalists, politicians, small and medium enterprises. And there's a funny project we have about cinema distribution. We have friends that are running independent movie theaters, and they ask us if we could distribute the movies they are showing from the distributors to the theaters. And so at first we were like, okay, it's just, what is the job? Yeah, it's just basically transporting films from one point to multiple points. So I don't know if you heard about a protocol called BitTorrent. We started to test it, it's quite efficient. You should have a look at it. And so more importantly, data love. We share the same love for the internet and, yeah, data love all the things. It's what drives us, what makes us wake up in the morning and say, okay, the internet is again down, I have to go to the roof and see what happened and so on. And basically, we love it. Okay, that's for friends, but what about elsewhere? The possible obstacles. The legal framework. I don't know all the legal framework about telecommunication in all the countries. I don't even know everything about it in France. So it's quite complicated. It's sometimes a mess. You don't want to know what is going on in Belgium. There's the market, of course. It's not easy to have backhaul contracts. We really are lucky to have it in France. And one important thing, one important issue that you have to that you should have in mind is the community, the human issue. You're building something that needs to last. You're building things with not just machines, but with people. And that's something you have to take care of. Data love helps for this, of course. About the European legal framework, I haven't done an extended review of this, but there's not much to help what we are doing. What is most important is the country regulation. There is nothing that I've seen on the European level on this. Like in France, you just have to declare yourself an operator to actually do things. It's just filling a form and you're okay. And you're even not forced to do this. And in Belgium, you have to pay a certain amount of euros if you are if you're not giving the service for free. So it's quite weird. Of course, we are people pay in our structure. So we are in Belgium. I think we would be considered as commercial ISPs, and so we had to pay 10,000 euros, something like that, to start doing things. So it's quite impossible for us, but we are trying to do things. And there are things to do on the European level. We have friends in Spain. I hope this talk will give the opportunity of people from all around the Europe and all around the world to meet and to start to discuss this. My experience as a volunteer for La Quadrature du Net learned me that if you don't ask politicians to do things, they will do silly laws and stupid laws. First, you have to hit them when they do stupid laws, and then you have to propose something. You have to say, hey, this would be better. And if we don't talk together as European citizens, we won't have good networks, community-driven networks. So it's very important to think about that. The technical stuff actually is not a problem. We can provide 100 gigabytes of network here. So, and even it's not a problem using free software. We are at a small scale, and the bandwidth we are dealing with doesn't require to have big Ciscos and Junipers. We use Quagga, Bird, L2TPNS. We even patched L2TPNS heavily. We use FreeRadius, OpenWRT. There is nothing difficult. Sharing is the key. If in your own corner you are doing things and you keep it with you, of course it will be difficult. But if you reuse what has been done elsewhere, yeah, it's quite easy. My example is that the network I built in the middle of nowhere in France, and the network we built, we literally copy-pasted the configuration files from RISM, the student ISP I showed you. So, yeah, basically it's copy-paste. Who is out there? In Spain there are Giphy. They have an amazing network with thousands of nodes. Wireless nodes. There's the Free Network Foundation in the US. There's Linux in Roma, Altermundi in Argentina, and the individual networks in Germany. And there are others. There are plenty of others. But the problem is we don't know each other. We don't talk to each other. We don't benefit from the network, even in the same city. There's a funny thing. Yesterday evening, I was talking to some guy from the Shack Space in Stuttgart, and he was very much interested in this. And this morning, I've received an email from a guy from Stuttgart who was running a non-profit ISP, a student one, with 4,500 members. And I was like, what? They don't know each other and they are in the same city. What is wrong? It's not like we have the internet to know each other. So communication and federation is the key to this, in my opinion. So I will introduce you to some kind of exclusivity. Don't be too excited. Or maybe, you will see. We built a database. At the beginning, we thought about this just for friends, to share information. We have monthly meetings in our French organization with the Federation, and we exchange our problems. We are asking each other on a frequent basis, how much subscribers do you have? How big is your network? And so on. So it's quite a pain in the ass to have 20 organizations asking themselves, these numbers, let's put this stuff into machines. And so we built a database, automatic database, that retrieves information, like the areas covered and so on. And the good thing is that we've been built on international scope in ED. So it can be reused, it's free software and so on. As a user, you can find the closest friendly ISP And as a friendly ISP, you can hide your information. So here is the thing. I will demonstrate you. We are not all in the system right now. I will put it in English. Wow, it's in English. So you can almost. So you can find the closest ISP next to you. Like if I zoom on the map, then I say I'm living in the middle of nowhere, which is at my place. And then you just put the cursor there and ta-da. So you see the areas covered by an organization next to you. Like you're living just here, and there is a Wi-Fi. There is a wireless network there, and we provide ADSL all around the area. So you click on the organization, and you have information like the contact, the mailing list, the number of subscribers, members, the chat room if you want to interact with people. And there it is. It's quite simple, but it's very useful. And it just takes a few minutes to add a new project. So you add my project, you can automatically provide a JSON. We have a format for this. And you can also fill a form and provide the info, and you're done. It appears on the map. So. The features, as I said, there is description of a certain amount of information on ISPs, like subscribers or RIAS techno, blah, blah, blah. And it's free software. You can patch it, fork it, whatever you like. There is also a mailing list for discussions, international discussions. Here is the link, ffdn.org/doityourself. And the idea I have in mind today, and why am I in front of you today, is why don't we have hackerspaces.org for non-profit ISPs? Like when I saw that two people from the same city don't know each other, don't know that there is a big network already existing and so on, I'm amazed. It's weird, it's really weird. So I will invite you to discuss this and to see what we can do to share this information and to have finally a better overview of what is going on around this. So why don't you try? And here is the information to contact us. If you're interested, there will be a workshop in Hall 13 at 1 p.m. So you're welcome. Thank you.
All righty, thank you very much. Any quick questions? Anything from the interwebs?
Yeah. For example, is it hard to get an autonomous system number? IP prefixes and to find someone for doing the BGP peering.
So sorry, I didn't get the question.
Is it hard to get an autonomous system number, IP prefixes and to find someone for doing the BGP peering for you?
It's really simple. The most difficult thing is to have public IPv4, but requesting an autonomous system is really filling a form, sort of. It's quite easy, and that's something people usually think it's difficult, and they think about technical issues. But in the end, when you discuss with us, with people who have tried to do this, you understand that the technical part, the network part, is it's simple. We do it on a daily basis. We edit config files, we try, and so you cannot edit the config file of your friend. That's the difficult part of this kind of things.
Okay, quick question for number two, then we have to wrap up. Sorry for that, you can ask Kim later.
Regarding the net neutrality, how hard is it to stay under the radar or not? Because in your scale or your scope, you're still dependent upon a tier three ISP for your access towards the internet, so you do not have enough power or enough mass to play with the big guys and make up your own rules, so you still are dependent on the rules of the ISPs itself regarding net neutrality and so on.
The answer to that is that basically so far nobody has tried to enforce anything that we didn't want on our network on the layer 3, where usually the network neutrality attacks appeared. And so we have a neutral network, it just works, and the bigger telcos just don't care about us and they don't try to push things. We have our own IPs, our own routing and so on, and so it just works.
But you're not forced by legislation to keep logs and stuff?
Well, there are things enforced by legislation, but we try to use the FFDN to be a voice against it and to say, hey, we have a lot of people and we are against it. We are running ISPs, and we say it's not okay. And we are ISPs with citizens behind, and that's a different angle. That's important to have multiple angles to attack these kind of things.
Alrighty, sorry for that. We are out of time. Let's give him another round of applause. Thank you very much. And please remember to bring out the trash with you. Thank you.